Lord Jesus Christ is faced with a man who comes to him, wants him to settle a domestic problem, a dispute over inheritance. This is the background to the passage in Luke chapter 12. We pick up our reading in verse 13. Luke's Gospel chapter 12, verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge over or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns, I will build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for thee for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, be merry. Philosophy of the world, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. I'm sure that the Lord will bless this portion of his precious word this evening. As we said, the parable of the rich fool is introduced by the Lord Jesus because a man comes to him and wants him to settle a problem. He's not satisfied with the way the inheritance has been shared. Doesn't it sound familiar? It sounds very familiar. It sounds like a lot of things that happen today. People are never satisfied with what they have. They always want something more. That is the nature of the human heart, to be dissatisfied with what we have. People are always trying to improve. We're trying to improve our looks. We're trying to improve sometimes the way, you know, our features. A lot of people today spend a lot of money on facial reconstruction and facial changes. Don't like the shape of the nose, go to a plastic surgeon, have it altered, have it fixed. This is the tendency. This is the human heart. We are never satisfied with what we have. We always want something more. And here, this man was not satisfied with what had been left or how the inheritance had been shared. There was a very rich man in the United States of America a number of years ago who knew what families did when rich people die. He knew what families would do. And so he left a clause in his will. And the clause in his will was this, that anyone that took the will to court or that took the dispute to court and decided they weren't satisfied, they would get absolutely nothing. If they were not satisfied with what he had left them in his will, and if they took it to court, they would lose everything. I said he was a wise man. You see, people are never satisfied. And the Lord Jesus Christ is warning here in this parable about people who want more. And you know, the tragedy in our world today and in our communities today and in these islands today is the fact that many fathers and many parents are sacrificing their children for the sake of things. There are families, there are parents, there are fathers who are sacrificing their children for the sake of things. You know, we can give our children the best that life can afford, but if we do not give them a good example, we've given them nothing. We can give our children the best as far as material things are concerned, but if we do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, or are we following him, we have given them absolutely nothing. Now, there's nothing said about this man being a father, but I want to zero in upon this man tonight for a little while in the parable of what is called the rich fool or the rich farmer. somehow I have designated this the man who forgot God. Because it's exactly what he did. And a lot of Bahamians are living as if there is no God. A lot of our Bahamian people are living as if God doesn't exist. Or if he does, he has no concern in their lives whatsoever. And here is a man who pictures this. You'll notice in verse 16, his prosperity. It says, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Plentifully. I believe that we all can say that in recent years, over the years, we have seen God blessing us, and he has blessed us with plenty. We are living in a land that is blessed. Oh, I know there have been problems, and there have been times when things were not as good, and there have been some deficits and sometimes. But I want to say tonight again that we are living in a country, in an area of the world where we are blessed. Some of us who are a little older can remember back in some of the days in the past, and I'm not saying that I'm old, but you know, things have changed so rapidly in my own lifetime. By the way, I was sitting here thinking, the first time that I came to Spanish Wells, it was, I think, 37 years ago. That's time gone by, isn't it? And of course, you know, time goes by so quickly. But as I think of moving around these islands, and I think of how things used to be, and how things are today, I want to say tonight again, we are blessed. I can remember going to Long Island in 1960. The first time I visited Long Island, and of course our dear brother Cecil Sims was alive, and I remember the fact that in Sims there were people who lived some 3.5 miles away, and they used to walk, for Sunday morning, they used to walk 3.5 miles, and when the meeting was over, they would walk 3.5 miles back. And when the evening meeting came, they would walk 3.5 miles back and walk return 3.5. So they walked some 14 miles in one day to come to two meetings. But there is transportation all around them. You can't get people to come like they used to come. You know why? Because prosperity has come in. This man was prosperous. You see, he had experienced the blessings of God upon him. Some years ago in Abaco, a person went to speak to a man who was known for the fact that he professed to be an atheist. And the Christian brother spoke to him, and he looked at him and he said, "Man, get away from me. Don't talk about God to me. What has God ever done for me?" And the brother looked the man in his face and he said, "God has blessed you. You may not want to admit it, but the very breath that you breathe, God holds in his hands. And all he has to do is to just close his hands, so to speak, and you would not even be breathing." You see, we fail to realize that whatever blessings we have, God has blessed us with. The Bible says he sends rain upon the just and the unjust. The Bible says it is the Lord who gives the men wisdom, and the Bible teaches that. He who gives us wisdom, it is he who gives us help to do the things that we do. It is he who has blessed us with the knowledge and with the strength and with the ability to function and to work and to be able to perform and to be able to be where we are today. God has blessed us with that. The Bible tells us in Acts 14 and 17, Paul is speaking, and he was trying to show the people in Lystra and Derbe that he was not one of the gods as they thought. And Paul said, "Nevertheless, he has not left himself without a witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful season, filling our hearts with food and fruitful seasons. So you see, God has blessed us. Paul said to the Athenians in Acts 17, in him we live and move and have our being. And whatever we have, and whatever that man had in the parable, whatever we have, beloved, God has given to us. God has blessed us. But you know what we have done? We've exploited. We have exploited God's goodness. The scripture says that the goodness of God leads to repentance. But we have taken the goodness of God and we have used it for our own benefits, many of us. And we have failed even to give thanks to the Lord for what he has blessed us with. Christian or preacher went into a new restaurant some years ago. He went in and he sat down. He and his wife. It was a new restaurant, the opening signs, the grand opening was there, and he and his wife sat down. They ordered their meal, and they joined hands across the table, and they gave thanks for the food. After they were finished, and he asked for the check, he didn't receive it. In fact, the owner came up, or the manager came up, and he said, "No, you're not paying for this meal tonight." He said, "I made a vow that when we open this restaurant, the first couple or the first person that would publicly give thanks for his food, the meal would be on the house." He said, "We've been open for 3 weeks and you're the first person we've seen to give thanks for the food." Well, he didn't expect to get a free meal, but he did. You see, because he was thankful for what he got. Sometimes people get to the table and never even give thanks for the food. The little country boy visiting from the farm visited his relatives in the city. They sat around the table, and when the food was dished up, everybody dug in. He says, "Hey, you're just like the hogs back home." He says, "They dig in too without giving thanks." I believe you me, they stopped and gave thanks after that. You see what I'm saying is, we have been blessed. God bless this man. This is what the Lord Jesus is saying in this parable. He was talking to people. He says, God has blessed you. He has prospered you. But we take this and we forget it. And we forget, even as Christians sometimes, we forget what God has blessed us with. And so this man, he is blessed. His ground, he looks over his fields one night and his one afternoon, and he sees the trees and they're ripe. And the luscious fruit. And he looks over and he sees the fields of grain. And he sees them ripe. And he says, "Oh, look what I have achieved. Look what I have gotten. Look at me. Look where I've come from." Maybe one of those men who, you know, is supposed to be self-made men. And he says, "You know, I remember when I was a poor little fellow running around with no shoes and hardly any clothes. And look where I am today." Doesn't this sound like a lot of Bahamians, a lot of daddies, a lot of mummies? This is what we have achieved. Look at what we have accomplished. You remember the Lord gave Daniel a message, and through the word of God, he gave him a message to tell Nebuchadnezzar what would happen. He had a dream about a tree. And Daniel warned Nebuchadnezzar, but that didn't take it. And one day as he looked over that massive and beautiful city of Babylon, he said, "Is not this the great city of Babylon which I have built?" And God struck him down. And he became like an animal. He lost his mind and he crawled about on all fours. Can you imagine a man going around, crawling around like an animal? That's what he did. His hair grew long and matted. His fingers and fingernails and toenails grew long like birds' talons. And he ate grass like an ox. Until he looked up. And he recognized that the Lord God rules among the kingdoms of men. And when he looked up and he recognized this, God restored his sanity to him. Oh, I tell you, friends, parents, Christians, my unsaved friends tonight, let me tell you something. It's time that we stop again and realize what God has blessed us with. It's good to realize that whatever we have, it is because of the goodness of God. But I want you to notice this presumption. It's seen in verses 17 to 19. It says he thought within himself. You know, he began to think. Maybe he sat there with his hand to his chin like this, and he looked around, and he could just feel the pride welling up in his heart. He saw all that he had. He looked at the house that he had. He looked at the servants that were bustling around, and he looked at all of these things. And the Bible says he thought within himself. And then he said in verse 17, "What shall I do?" Never once do you read of this man saying, Lord God, thank you for what you've given to me. And let me say this to us as parents. If we possess or we display an unthankful and ungrateful spirit to our children, that is going to be manifested in their lives. Be thankful. The scripture is filled with that of being thankful. Every time you read of praying, the exhortation to pray in the New Testament, you read of the words, and be thankful. Be thankful with thanksgiving. Giving thanks. He says, give thanks in all things, for this is the will of God concerning you. Be a thankful people. This man was not thankful. He never once stopped to realize that all that he had come from the Lord. He never stopped to say, Lord, I recognize that you are the one who has blessed me. You know, sad to say, this is becoming more and more evident in our Bahamian society. We are an unthankful people. He never stopped to realize that the psalmist said in Psalm 24, verse 1, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. He never stopped to realize that David said in 1 Chronicles 29 and 14, for all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee, when he was giving back to the Lord. He never stopped to realize, as the psalmist said in Psalm 50 and verse 10, that the every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle upon a thousand hills are mine. He never stopped to realize that the prophet Haggai said, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord. He never stopped to realize this. I say to us tonight afresh, we need to pause some time and look at whatever God has blessed us with and say, Lord, thank you. You gave it to us, Lord. Thank you. And you know, in all of this, he never once thought of somebody else. The young son heard his father, who was had a large farm, and he had a lot of produce on his farm. He heard his daddy praying very piously one morning in his bedroom, and he passed the door and he heard daddy praying. He says, oh Lord, there are some poor people down there in the valley. Lord, let somebody be touched and send them and help them. Send them some food and things that they need. When he got through, the little boy came. He said, Daddy, he said, I wish I had what you had. He said, what do you mean, son? He said, I'll answer your prayer for you. You see, this man was that way. He never once thought of somebody else. If you'll notice his preoccupation 11 times in this short parable, the Lord Jesus says he uses some form of the personal pronoun. I, me, my, mine. And you know what happens to a heart, to a person that lives his life without God? Many times they become so selfish and so self-centered. And there is no thought of others. No thought of thanksgiving or at least helping someone else. My friend, let me ask you tonight, what occupies your thought life? As you think within yourself, what is the thing that is uppermost in your mind? What is the thing that you want more than anything else in this world? What is the thing that you're occupied with? You see, whatever we put first in our life is our God. Whatever we put first in our life. That's why the Lord said in the very first of the commandments, he says, thou shalt have no other gods before me or beside me. He said, you must recognize that I am the God. I am your God. And he says you're to put nothing in front of me. Yet we find people putting things like this man did. His idea was not being thankful that he wanted bigger crops. He wanted bigger barns. He wanted more area where he could have more goods to bestow upon himself. All he was thinking about was self. You see, this man totally forgot God. I may be speaking to someone tonight and you may have forgotten God. Or at least you pushed him to the back of your mind. The old hymn says, room for pleasure, room for business, but for Christ the crucified. Not a place in which he can enter in the heart for which he died. Here is this man going a step further. He's making plans. His plan, he said, I will say to my soul, when I built these bigger barns, when I bestowed these goods, when I have increased my fields, I will say to my soul, soul, oh, you've got it made. Look at what you've achieved. This is yours. You can sit back and you can relax. Eat. Drink. Be merry. Live it up. Have a good time. I'm sure many of us during this past week have been shocked at the scenes we've seen on television. O.J. Simpson, great sports figure. I'm not saying tonight whether or not he's guilty, but the thought that I said to Andrew, my son, as we were talking about, I said, Andrew, the Bible says that when we live our life without God, we don't put the Lord first. You can have all of these things and yet have absolutely nothing. And it's tragic to see a man of this stature, a man that was looked up to by so many people. See that man in handcuffs, being led away, being charged with two murders. I'm not speaking tonight and saying whether he's guilty or innocent or whatever. What I'm saying is this. Listen, my friend, that can happen to you if you live your life without God. You may not be charged with murder, but listen, my friends, it can happen to you. It can happen to anyone. When we live our lives as if there is no God, and we forget that there is a God, the tragic result is this. As we come to a bitter end, this man made preparation. He made plans for time, but he made no plans, no preparations for eternity. Lord Jesus Christ said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt. He said, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor the rust doth corrupt, nor thieves break through and steal. And the Bible says in Proverbs 27:1, this man was boasting of something that he had no control over. He was boasting of something that he had, which was not really his. Time and eternity. And the Bible says in Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day will bring forth. You see, he was making plans for time, but not for eternity. I read an article in the newspaper some time ago of a man, I think he was in Cleveland, Ohio. He made all preparations. He said he did not want to be caught unexpected, and so he made all of his funeral arrangements. He made all of the arrangements for what would happen to him and so on. He even had bought a casket and he kept it in his house. The casket that he would be buried in. And they said that he would at times even lie down in the casket. He said, I want to find out how it feels to know where I'm going to spend. Listen to what he said. Where I'm going to spend the time after I'm dead. And as I read that, I said, you know, that man has made preparations for the body, but not for the soul. Isn't it interesting that when we refer to ourselves, or we say body, soul, and spirit. You notice that? Even as Christians, we always say body, soul, and spirit. But the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible reverses it. The Bible says your whole spirit, soul, and body. Because you see, my friend, the body is only the house that we live in. And this body is getting old. This body is decaying. This body is going to die unless, of course, the Lord Jesus comes and he takes some of us home in the rapture and we don't experience going through death. And we experience the marvelous change that the scripture teaches will take place in these bodies of ours. But the body is going to die. But it's the soul. It's the real you, the real me that does not die. The Bible says that God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life and he became a living soul. And it's the soul that does not die. And this man said, I will say to my soul. Yes, he did have the right focus, but he had the wrong, he had the right thought, the soul, but he had the wrong focus. The Lord Jesus Christ said, fear not him who is able to kill the body, but is not able to kill the soul. But fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now, he's not saying the word destroy does not mean annihilate. It does not mean to put out of existence. The word destroy there means to perish or loss of well-being. This man made provision for time, but he made no provision for eternity. That was his presumption. My friend, what are you making provision for? For this life? For the life to come? Are you making provision only for time? I want to tell you tonight that God has made every provision for you, for your soul's salvation by the death of his beloved Son on the cross. The Bible says that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And my friend, upon the authority of God's word tonight, let me tell you this, that the Lord Jesus Christ has opened up a way for you to be saved. For you to, my friend, not only to be prepared for time, but praise God, to be prepared for eternity. He has opened up a way of salvation by his death on the cross for our sins, by his burial, and by his resurrection again. And upon the authority of the word of God, I tell you tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ is the way. He is the way of salvation. And he's the only way of salvation. But this man had no time, no thoughts for eternity. It is sad when this happens. And over the years, we've all seen it happen. We've seen people die young. We've seen them taken out, ushered out from time into eternity. Sometimes by an accident. I tell you, it's good to be ready. A few months ago, you probably heard on the news, a young man was walking along the road. Another young man was coming in the opposite direction. At the same time, a car came with bright lights on, blinded the young man on the motorbike, and he ran into this fellow. The young man was killed. But oh, what a joy it was. We were in a meeting. And they came and told the people he was employed with, some of the folk that go to our chapel in Marsh Harbor. And even though they were shocked, they said, well, I know one thing. The brother he worked with said, I know one thing. I know where he is tonight. He's with the Lord. He said, I was talking, he and I were sharing this afternoon about the things of Christ, and we were talking about the Lord. He said, that's what we were talking about on the job today. Oh, what a joy it is when that happens, friend, when somebody is ushered from time into eternity to be able to say that they knew the Lord. If that would have happened to you tonight, sir, what would it be said of you? I want you to notice, thirdly, this man's perdition. In the midst of all of his plans, he goes to bed. Suddenly he's gripped. Perhaps with a searing, stabbing pain in the chest. And he feels the tingling up and down his arms, and maybe he feels that pain so strong, and he cries out, and he gasps, and he's gone. As it were, a voice comes from the battlements of heaven and from the courts of heaven. And the voice says, thou fool! This night, thy soul shall be required of thee. And who shall these things be which you have provided? You see, my friend, he stepped beyond what he was supposed to. He laid claim to something that God only has control over. He made plans for time, and he was about to go into eternity. He made plans for this life, not knowing that in a few minutes, in a few hours, he'd be gone out into eternity. God denounces him. He says, thou fool. Do you know that God reserves the right to call a man a fool? Do you know what the Lord Jesus Christ said about calling someone a fool? God said in Psalm 14, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. He's not saying he's an atheist. The idea of that psalm, he says, no God for me. That's what he's saying. No God for me. And that's what this man was saying. He lived as if there was no God. He lived and acted as if there was no eternity. He lived and acted as if he was never going to die, but he did. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die. After this judgment. My friend, are you living your life like this man lived? Are you living your life as if there is no God? Are you living your life as if you're not going to die? Are you living rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ as if you're not going to have to meet God one day? You're going to have to meet him. You're going to stand before him. As sure as you're sitting there listening to this message, there's coming a time when you're going to meet God. When a number of us in our teenage years, we used to do open air meetings in Nassau, open evangelism, and older ones as well. And every Friday afternoon, the young people from Central and other chapels would go down to it was called the infirmary, it's now of course the geriatric, but it was down in Prospect Ridge. Some of you may remember where it was, where the old hospital was, the old Army hospital. We used to go down there and have meetings inside the wards. We try to bring some cheer to the old people. And I remember going there time after time. Sometimes I would speak, sometimes one of the others would speak. There was a man there. They all called him Calabash because he was in Calabash Bay, Andrews. And he'd come and he would sit, look up in your face, and you'd think he was listening intently. And it didn't matter. That was his, just every time anybody went, the moment the meeting was over, he'd come up and say, you brought many cigarettes? That's all the poor old fellow could think about. That's all that his mind could think about. There was another man there. And we began to talk with him one day. He was new. He'd just come in there. And he related an incident that happened to him. He said he was in the United States, and at that time he was a reporter. He was sent as a reporter from a newspaper, and he went down to cover a man that was having some street meetings. He said, and after the meeting was over, he went to interview him, and the preacher said, he said, young man, do you know the Lord? He says, I can live without God. He said, but the preacher said to me, but can you die without it? My friend, you can live without God. And you'll die without him, but you're going to meet him in eternity. That's what the Lord Jesus said. That's what the Bible says. God said, thou fool! Oh, friend, I trust tonight you sit here in this meeting. Maybe you've heard the gospel for so many years, and you're not saved. Will God have to say to you sometime soon, thou fool? This night your soul is required of thee. Bible says in Proverbs 29:1, he that being often reproved harden of his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that's without remedy. I believe that's one of the most solemn verses in all of the scripture. Man may forget God. Man may live as if there is no God. Man may live as if he's never going to die. But one day he does. And at the end of the road, there is God. At the end of life's journey, there is God. And I'll tell you this, you may forget about him in this life. And you may live as if there is no tomorrow, or as if there is no eternity. You may live like this, but my friend, one day, you're going to meet God. One day you will stand before him. You will either meet him as your judge, or if you trust him, you will meet the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Which will it be? Are you going to be like this man? Just keep on making your plans, keep on living, keep on doing things. Will you tonight come and recognize the fact that you are a sinner? Recognize the fact that you've been rejecting the Lord, you've been living without him long enough. And tonight you're going to receive the Christ of God as your personal Savior. You'll experience what the Bible says is the new birth. You can be saved. You can start your life, living your life, not for yourself, but letting the Lord Jesus Christ live his life in and through you, and living your life, my friend, and living a life that counts. A life that will count not only for time, but praise God, for eternity. The Lord Jesus Christ leaves us this solemn parable of a man who forgot God. Are you forgetting him? Are you living as if he doesn't exist? I can only speak, my friend, tonight, as I close this meeting, with the love that's in my heart for your soul, and tell you, listen. You've received yet another message from God's word. You've received, yes, a warning from God's word. A solemn one. Will you tonight not say to the Lord Jesus, recognize the fact that one day you're going to meet God. It may not be right now. It may be tomorrow. It may be tonight. Will the Lord have to say over you, or say to you, thou fool? Or as the duet sang earlier, will you hear those words, those beautiful words, come home. Come home. Which will it be? You can accept the Lord Jesus, or you can reject him again. How many times have you rejected him? How many times have you spurned his love? How many times have you said no to him? How many times have you gone out of the doors of this chapel? And if you think back to the old wooden building, how many times you went out of the doors of that building if you're older? How many times, my friend, have you done this? One day, you'll do it for the last time. One day, you'll hear God's final call. One day you'll hear your final gospel message. Will God say, thou fool? Or will he say, come home? My child, come home. You do not tonight receive the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. You do not accept him. You do not trust him. I'm going to ask that you bow for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The Bible says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, the children of God, even to them that believe on his name." My friend, tonight, we do not give in to the strivings of the Spirit of God in your life. We do not surrender to the Savior.